The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
And now, friends, we come to the last book of the Bible, the last in our New Testament survey, the book of Revelation. Some people say, "I'm not going to study that. I've been told you can't understand it." Well, friend, God's not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33, "And his word will not return to him void. It shall accomplish that for which he sent it." Isaiah 55:11. And we really impugn the mind of God and impeach his power when we indicate God gave us a book that we're not supposed to understand. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The things that are revealed belong to man." And God revealed the book of Revelation, and we ought to understand it, and we can if we'll go to it with the right attitude. Did you know that the book of Revelation is the consummation of the New Testament story which told us the life of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how to become a Christian, the book of Acts, how to live the Christian life, 21 epistles, Romans through Jude, and the book of Revelation tells us the hope of a Christian, or how to die in Christ. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." Revelation 14:13. "Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." Revelation 2:10. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." Revelation 3:21. "They are called and faithful and chosen, and he is King of kings and Lord of lords." Revelation 17:14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates into the city." Revelation 22:14. "They," the saints, "overcame him," Satan, "with the blood of Christ and the word of his testimony." That statement, that utterance of Revelation 12:11 tells us we too can overcome. And the book of Revelation affirms on every page, if you will overcome, you can come over to live with God. Outside the book of Revelation, we have the same general teaching found in the book. The book of Revelation isn't something new. It's all the old teaching wrapped up in a wonderful garb as we close the Bible. For instance, 2 Timothy 2 says, "If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us." 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Paul said in Romans 8:18, and this is the epitome of the book of Revelation, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed." In 1 John 4:4 we read, "He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world." And 1 John 5:4 says, "This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." Jesus had promised that his servants would be persecuted. He said, "If the world's hated me, the world will hate you. If the world's persecuted me, the world will persecute you. The servant is not greater than his Lord." John 15, verses 16 and following. He said, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." That from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 10-12. And so the saints of God met oppression, duress, persecution, tribulation. But James 1, 2 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into manifold trials, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience." In 1 Peter 1, 7 and 8, and 1 Peter 4, 12, we learn that Christians will suffer, but they'll be purified, even as gold is in the furnace of affliction. The dross, the impurity fades away, and only the pure gold, the genuine metal, remains. We're not to be reprobate silver, Jeremiah 6:30, counterfeit coin, but we're to be the genuine, the true article, because we stand up for Christ. We fight the good fight of faith that we might lay hold on eternal life, 1 Timothy 6:12. The book of Revelation was addressed to the seven congregations of Asia mentioned in chapters 2 and 3, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. This book was written concerning things that would shortly come to pass. And John was told, and here's the key, here's the punchline in Revelation, "John, what you see, write in a book and send to the seven congregations of Asia." John saw in a dramatic panoramic production before his eyes the destiny of God's people. He saw the contents and portents of God's wrath poured out upon men of iniquity. And he warned the people of God, "Come out of her, O ye my people." Rome, which captivated God's people at this time, was likened unto Babylon, who had kept God's people in bondage 70 years in Old Testament days. Actually, there are many parallels between the Old Testament, and especially Ezekiel and Zechariah, and the book of Revelation. It isn't God's fault we're not good students of the Old Testament, or of church history, or of world history. A lot of people don't know anything about the historical background of these seven cities to whom this book was addressed. The church at Ephesus had left their first love. And the Lord said, "Unless you repent and do the first works, you'll no longer be a church of the Lord." The church at Smyrna was poor, intensely persecuted, but deeply spiritual, and the Lord said, "You be faithful in the face of death, and I'll give you a crown of life." The church at Pergamos had the misfortune of having one of the emperor's temple erected in their city, and the trade guilds were enjoined with the emperor's temple. And if a man would not bow down and worship the emperor, and no Christian could, then he couldn't get a job in the trade guild, so temporarily he could not buy and sell and get gain in a time of famine. But if ultimately he would hold to God's unchanging hand, even though Satan's seat, emperor's worship, was in his midst, heaven could one day be his home. Actually, the Bible tells us that physical life is not the highest premium, but spiritual depth. And if we die in the Lord, that's a blessing. It'd be better to die in the Lord now than to live 100 years out of the Lord. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Jesus said in John 8:21, "You shall die in your sins, and where I go you cannot come." So the real purpose of the book of Revelation is to challenge these early Christians, beset and oppressed by daily persecution, to hold on to God, to never turn back, and ultimately they would be rewarded. On earth they might lose a few battles, but when it really counted, they'd be with the redeemed and ransomed in glory. In Revelation chapter 1, we read that Christ has eyes like a flaming fire. He can pierce right through. He can see us. In fact, how many times in Revelation does he say, "I know thy works"? To the church at Thyatira, Revelation chapter 2, the Lord said, "You've tolerated sin. You've allowed someone like Jezebel." And Jezebel introduced idolatrous worship into Israel and helped contaminate her husband Ahab and the whole kingdom of Israel. And someone like that had entered the church at Thyatira, and the brethren had put up with it. And he said, "I'm going to cast you into a bed of iniquity with such ungodliness. You'll no longer be my people." But he said, "If you'll overcome, you'll be blessed." In Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, he said to the church at Sardis, "You have a name that you live, but you're dead." They had a lot of bombastic promotionalism, but when you get right down to it, there wasn't much to them. They were like that woman in 1 Timothy 5:6, dead while she liveth. To have a name that we live, but to be spiritually dead, probably applies to a whole lot of congregations today that think they're really on the march. They have their million-dollar cathedrals and all their pompous plans, but they don't have the Lord in their presence. It's significant to me that the two smallest congregations of these seven, Smyrna and Philadelphia, were complimented by the Lord, and the other five were rebuked. To the church at Philadelphia, he said, "You have a little bit of talent, and I'm going to open a door that no man can shut, so you'll have more opportunity to discharge your duties." They were doing the best they could with what they had, and that's all the Lord ever asked us. The parable of the talents, Matthew 25, teaches that. And then the church at Laodicea, wealthy, very sophisticated. Did you know an earthquake had destroyed Laodicea about 50 years before this letter was written to them? And they had told the Roman Empire, "We don't want any of your welfare money. We'll rebuild our own city." And in magnificent marble splendor, Laodicea was rebuilt out of their own pockets. And they were so self-sufficient, they didn't need anybody. They didn't even need the Lord, they thought. In fact, I say the church at Laodicea had everything but Christ, so they had nothing. They said, "We're wealthy. We're rich. We're famous." The Lord said, "No, you're poor and miserable and blind and naked and wretched and poor. And you need to buy of me instead of trying to be so self-reliant." He said, "You make me sick." Here was the church that made the Lord sick. He said, "I'm going to spew you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm." But at the end of this tirade and this exclamation, our Lord said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And so if we'll overcome Satan, sin, and self, we can come over to live with God.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of...